Today, we are going to read from New Testament Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. I'll read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 18. A ruler questioned Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have possessed and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." Peter said, "Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times as much at this time, and in the age to come, eternal life." Matthew also writes this incident, Chapter 18, verses 16 through 26. And Mark also writes this incident, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. These three synoptic authors write from their own respective perspective. But here, when we read all three narratives by three separate gospel writers, we can have the wholesome picture of what really happened between this young rich ruler and Jesus the rabbi. First of all, he ran and knelt before Jesus. That's what Matthew, Mark, they write. He ran and knelt before Jesus. It is very honest, humble attitude he took before Jesus. But here Luke says, he just came and questioned Jesus, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Matthew said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have or to earn eternal life?" Jesus, first of all, corrects him in two things. His faulty knowledge of God, and his 40 knowledge of himself, human beings. So 40 theology and 40 anthropology he had. Good. What does it mean good for him? It is relative terminology. He degraded absolute goodness to human level relative goodness. So he uses that corrupt, degraded goodness to himself and to Jesus. So Jesus said, no. Your understanding of goodness is 40. There is only one person in the whole universe is called good, is God alone. So this young rich ruler receiving praise and compliments and honor by so many people in his town because he seemed in the eyes of those common folks to receive great blessing from God because he was rich. Also his honorable position he had. He held high official position in his young age. What could he ask more from present age? To the eyes of common folks, he seemed to have everything they wanted from their lives. But this young rich ruler he seemed to have everything what common folks they badly wanted for their lives. But Jesus corrected him. No. You are wrong about your own goodness. You are wrong about goodness about me. Your understanding of goodness has to be absolute, perfect, and that belongs to God alone. So from Matthew's Gospel, he asks us this question. What good deed must I do? It means he has done good deeds so far. But one more thing he thinks missing in his mind. So he wanted that answer from good teacher. See? Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 already says about this. Our good deeds are merely a filthy rag in God's eyes. But this rich young ruler, in his eyes, he is good enough. In his eyes, good teacher, Jesus is good enough. And he pulled down good God to the human level. Just upgraded human being can be equally good as God is good. Totally faulty theology he has. Totally faulty anthropology about himself. He is wrong. Jesus corrects him. From now on, young man, goodness only belongs to God. No matter how good deeds you have done up to this point, no matter how good deed you are going to do, still, that is merely a filthy rag in God's eyes. Boom! That is Jesus' compassion for this miserable young ruler. Though in the eyes of Jesus' disciples and crowds, this young rich ruler seemed to be extremely greatly blessed by God because he is so rich, because he had so good family tree, because he held already high official in the country. But Jesus says, no, 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 that shouldn't be the standards we put against any human being. God's absolute standards, we have to measure ourselves. With that measurement, this young rich ruler completely failed. That's what Jesus pointed out to him. From there, Jesus once again tells him in practical terms, have you kept all those commandments written in second tablet regarding your relationship with your neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. That part, have you kept? He said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Jesus heard this. He said to him, one thing you still lack. Matthew said, if you want to be perfect. See, that's the whole picture Jesus tried to show him. If you want to be perfect, if you want to keep all commandments, it means you told me you kept all commandments, second part of the tablet regarding your neighbor. You failed. You are deceiving yourself. Jesus pointing that to him. That's why I tell him, if you want to be perfect, it means so far until you met me today, you have not been perfect. In his eyes, he thought he was perfect because he pulled down true perfection to his own foolish, corrupt level. I put the title for today's text, who is fit for the kingdom of God? It is interchangeable phrase. Entrance to kingdom of God. True disciple to Jesus Christ. Having eternal life is same as citizenship in the kingdom of God. Who is fit? Borrowing from Jesus' mouth, who is fit for kingdom of God? This young rich ruler is not fitting for that description. As Matthew said, if you want to be perfect, here Luke said, one thing you still lack. So essentially same meaning. You are not perfect. You are not good enough. It does not mean you have done good enough, but still one more good deed, as you ask me of, if I give you answer, that one more good deed, if you finish that good deed, you will be saved. You will gain. You will receive reward from God the Father. Jesus said, no, no, no. Your logic is completely faulty. Whatever you have done, good deeds in your eyes is not good enough for my eye, for me. In God's eyes, in God's absolute measurement, you failed God. All your good deeds is merely a filthy rag, as Isaiah the prophet said. That's what you are. So don't ask me, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? You cannot perform good deed. That's what Jesus is telling him. cold reality, cruel reality. He has to open his eyes to that reality. That's what Jesus says here, according to Luke. One thing you still lack. What is it? Your material possession. Sell all that you have. Not percentage-wise. 50%, 25%, 75%, 90%. No. All that you have possessed. Because you trust in your material possession. Distribute the proceeds to the poor. The hindrance for you to see will of God is your trust in your material possession. That hindrance, for your sake, I have to tell you, get rid of that hindrance between you and God. Your material possession hinders you from seeing, following, obeying God's revealed will. And here, God's revealed will is in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. I am revealed will of God the Father, whom you call good. But your material possession, to which you put your trust, hinders you from seeing God's will, obeying God's will, seeing me as what I am. So, get rid of that. Let's pause for a second. It is the first step any true disciple of Jesus Christ has to take. In other words, whatever between your trust and God's will, you have to choose. Because whatever you put your trust in, could be visible or invisible, your fame, your good name, your skill, your social status, or your material possession, whatever you put your trust is hindering you from seeing God's will, especially in the form of person of Jesus Christ. Because the whole Old Testament tells us God's will is to send Messiah. Messiah is personified will of God. Here, Jesus, several times, told his followers, if anyone wishes to come after me, follow God's will. Because I am personified will of God, he must deny himself. Matthew 16, verse 24. Once again, Luke 9, verse 23. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. And Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. See? That's the first step. Denying ourselves. Denying a person his self is denying his will. Denying his own perspective. Denying his own personal things, visible, invisible, he put his trust in. Self-denying is precondition to become Jesus' disciple, to become citizen of kingdom of God, to enter kingdom of God, to have eternal life. But it is by grace of God done. Not our own human effort. Because here Jesus now is a continue saying, distribute it to the poor, you shall have a treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That is clear-cut revealed will of Heavenly Father. Coming to Jesus and following Jesus, that is becoming disciple of Jesus. But what happened to him? He was sad, became very sad, for he was extremely rich. What hinders him from coming to and following Jesus was his extremely rich material possession. To each man, different things, visible, invisible, can be hindrance to this young rich ruler, material possession, extremely rich material possession was the hindrance. So out of compassion for him, Jesus looked at him and told his disciples how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Not only that, how hard it is for those who are intelligent, those who are in high official, those who are well skilled, those who are highly educated, those who had wonderful children, those who have wonderful wife, wonderful husband, wonderful parents, grandparents, good looks. All those things, visible, invisible, all wonderful personality, character, what we put our trust is the hindrance for us coming to Jesus and following Jesus. To extremely rich young ruler, his extremely rich material possession became the only hindrance. So out of Jesus' compassion for him, Jesus told him completely clear-cut revealed will of the Heavenly Father. My person is will of Father, because through me you receive eternal life free. Your 40 good deeds would not make it, would not cut it. Just me, my person, who is going to be cursed for your sin. My person is a free gift from God for you. It is grace, not your good deeds, not your work. So come. Follow me is clear-cut imperative for you to obey. It is revealed will of God. You cannot miss out. Humanly speaking, extremely rich people cannot enter kingdom of God because without grace of God, only thing they can is to trust in their possessions. When God's grace touches their heart, they turn their eyes, their trusting eyes from their material possession to Jesus Christ. Only grace of God can do it. So, humanly speaking, as his disciples were surprised, such blessed, rich young men cannot be saved. How anyone can be saved? Jesus said, with God, even exceeding rich man can be saved, because salvation, having eternal life, entering kingdom of God, being my disciple is free gift from God the Father. With God, all is possible. And Peter said, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And Jesus told them, including Peter, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. It means if you put all hindrances set aside, if you left all hindrances behind you, and you come and you follow me, then you will receive many times as much at this time, more than what you left behind. Furthermore, in the age to come, you will surely have and will enjoy eternal life, because that's the outcome of receiving grace of God. God touches your heart by grace to you, so that you have attentive ears, so that you have grace, so that you have faith and obeyed. Outcome of God's grace is your obedience to the will of God. That is denying yourself. Peter and my disciples, you responded to God's grace. You deny yourself, and you held them to God's revealed will. That is my person. That is fruit of God's grace implanted in your soul. Praise God, and you must give God for His grace, free grace, flowed to you from me, Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. So precondition is deny yourself. Put aside all those hindrances. That is God's grace. Enable you to do it. And Peter and disciples of Jesus, they were, by grace of God, enabled to set aside their will. And those attached hindrances, and came, followed Jesus. Friends, who is fit for the kingdom of God? You and I, we set aside whatever we used to put our trust in. That hindrance we set aside and followed Jesus, because that is setting aside our will, ourselves, denying ourselves, and hold on to God's will. May God's grace continue to make us more and more like Jesus, who came to be cursed for our sins, that we may be humbler day by day, more confident in Jesus, and cheerfully, joyfully follow revealed will of God. Jesus, He is our everything. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your grace. All our good deeds, all whatever we put our trust, is set aside for your sake. By your grace, we are able to see your will and see your will in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. make us filled with the Holy Spirit, continue to follow His footsteps faithfully, joyfully, and cheerfully. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.